Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another episode of Cousins for Christ, where we're just three cousins who like to get together and talk about Christ. I'm joined, as always, by my two cousins. I got Jeremy with me.
Hello.
My cousin Chris.
You got Chris.
I'm Jeff, and it's great to be with you guys.
It's great to be back together.
Yeah, miss you, buddy.
Got the band back together again, getting ready for our summer tour.
Back in town.
Well, we got a good conversation, a good topic tonight. I think this is something that I don't think it affects everybody. I know it does.
Some more so than others, but
It's a big problem. It's a big problem, and I think it's at the very core of our Christianity. And I think we're going to be talking about tonight anger and forgiveness. And I think, you know, going in with this, to be able to forgive and diffuse that anger, I think love for one another, certainly that's one of the anchor points of this discussion. But yeah, anger, and not just the anger, but the ability to let it go, to forgive people, to not keep score. How often have you ever had like, well, you know what? Chris has done me wrong twice. He's not going to do it a third time.
That's my biggest problem, is letting stuff go. Sometimes almost you get so angry, you like the feeling, and you do not want to let it go.
Do you think you feed on that?
Especially when I was younger.
Like a snowball kind of effect?
Especially when I was younger, my 20s, I almost wanted to stay angry if I ever got angry out of spite. Because I almost liked that adrenaline it would go give, you know?
I hate being angry.
That's a good thing.
No. Angry is exhausting to me.
That's
it takes so much out of me, and I don't think anybody wins. And I've heard this, anger does not diffuse anger. Only love can diffuse anger.
Correct.
And it's like, darkness does not turn away darkness, right?
No.
Only light can take away darkness.
You're right.
Yeah, anger really.
I'd have to say I'm the opposite. I hate being angry.
I
do, and all part of
But I do a lot of it, Chris.
But the problem, it is. But, I mean, I understand. I've never thought about the way you did. I'm sure that people do that. I hate being angry because it takes so much out of you to be.
I blame it on our you know, we're first cousins. I blame it a lot on our genetics.
Yeah, we do. We do. It runs.
I think we came from certain members of our family. We're prone to anger.
certain ones, like all of them.
All of us,
except our grandmother.
Yeah, I was going to say not our grandmother. She was actually the opposite of that. But
it's. I mean, to be completely honest, I felt a lot of anger this week. Something
do you want to share or just leave it?
It's just something that, you know, is real personal to something that that happened. And I got angry.
Have you prayed about it?
I have, and I'm still angry. And that's one of the reasons that I'm glad we're doing this topic, is because it's not easy. You know, you still hold on to it. I don't want to hold on to it. I don't want to be angry about this.
And let's look at it like this may help you as you're battling this, but think about how Jesus let so much of our sins go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about sometimes keeping score with people. We shouldn't do that, and it's hard. And you've heard people say, well, I forgive Chris for that transgression, but I can't forget it. Well, I think we kind of, as Christians, we have to try to forget it. Christ blots away our sins through his sacrifice. And, I try to come through it like, how would Jesus handle these situations? And it's not easy.
I'll tell you this part. I'm not even the one that it happened to. Now it can affect.
Oh, so this was outside of a third party this happened to.
Yes. But it's.
So it didn't happen directly to you.
Did not happen directly to
you. It doesn't matter. I get upset at things that happen to other people.
That's what I mean. And I have a hard time of like, first of all, I don't think it's my forgiveness to give. Because I wasn't the one initially offended by it. But
what about the person who was the offendee? Are they having trouble letting go of the anger? You don't know?
I don't know.
So it's just really on you.
We've talked about.
Okay.
So originally, I'll be honest, I thought it was because we went to Buffalo Wild Wings and they cut me off all you could eat. And I thought Chris got mad because they cut me off.
It was, man. I'm leaving a really
nice review.
I saw
how distraught. Jeremy was very distraught, so that, you know, obviously affects
I wasn't us, angry per se. I would say more sad than anything.
Yeah, it's just a hard – this is a hard one for me to navigate, so that's why I'm really glad we're jumping into this, because it's a very difficult situation, especially since – but the answers are here on how to navigate.
Let's get started. What does the Bible say about anger?
Well, anger is a complex emotion. Just the definition of it, to start with. Anger is a complex emotion that can be both righteous and sinful, depending on the context and motivation. Because, as we can discuss,
it can be anger is not necessarily in itself a negative thing. It can be a righteous emotion,
right,
in the right context. Correct. Is what you're saying. Give us some examples of what would be righteous anger.
So, in the Bible, there was a moment where Jesus went to the temples and overturned the tables. Jesus displayed righteous anger when he overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple. Matthew 21, 12 through 13.
Let's read that. So we're going to read that verse right now. Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 13. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So while it doesn't specifically mention Jesus being angry, I think we can conclude that he was upset with this behavior.
And part of the key to that, the righteous anger, is righteous anger focuses on the offense and not the offender.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Moses came down the hill and they'd already started dancing.
That's a good example.
Dancing around the golden calf. You know, he's up there getting the law from God on the mountain, and he comes down there all dancing like a bunch of heathens after everything had just went on. I would say that was righteous anger. He threw the plates down with the law and
I would agree. That's a good one. I didn't even think about that one. That is another good one for there.
And you mentioned too in your notes that you Chris put together this outline for us this week. He mentions that Jeremiah and Ezekiel both expressed righteous anger against idolatry and disobedience to God's commands. So we have another example. And not comparing ourselves to God by any means, but God many times examples showing anger against idolatry.
Absolutely.
And things that would be considered an abomination.
God is a jealous God.
Yeah.
And to be feared. Feared.
Absolutely.
Too. I mean, which one of us here has not got angry when you would hear somebody taking the Bible out of context deliberately, knowing they're taking it out of. We've all been mad at that situation because we know they're only doing it to deceive someone or many, especially on social media. People love just to put in a verse. Even half a verse, but they don't do the rest of it.
I know. As much as you don't want to hear it or whatever, you have to take everything in context.
Yes.
Chris, I want you to kind of speak to something here. You made a note that says, as far as righteous anger, it focuses on the offense rather than the offender. It seeks justice and restoration. And you also mentioned it does not lead to sin.
Correct.
And you cited a verse here. I'd like to read that now. It comes from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I think we've all heard that, and I think that's good advice. Personally, if I have a personal issue where I've gotten angry and maybe we've had a situation, I like to make amends if possible with that. Before that day is over. But from that verse, what do you get? How does that tell us it does not lead to sin? It says, be angry and sin not.
Well, I mean, in the whole thing, and how it ends, it said, you know, that anger can open you up. And it says, do not give the devil a foothold. He will take any instance or opportunity he can to drive you towards sin.
I think that's part of one of Satan's tools.
Absolutely.
Is that he wants us to become angry, because the problem when we become angry, it's easy for us to lose control.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for us to say things that we regret. How many times, guys, both of you, myself included, all you listeners out there, have you ever said something in anger that you sorely regretted? I'm raising my hand right now.
Yeah, I would drive.
Every time I've ever said something.
I would drive to hurt the other person because they, for some reason, anger hurt me. And that is not. And once you say something, you can't get it back.
I call it like the horse is out of the barn.
It is.
You know what? You're right, Chris. Once you've said that, now you can go back and apologize and really, but you really never can quite 100% undo the damage that may have been done.
No, it can grow back, but like a lot of things, you got a scar.
it's a lot easier not to say it.
It is.
And I think a lot of that, as far as our tongues are involved, I would recommend you guys going back to James chapter 3. We've done a previous podcast on that, talking about the dangers of the tongue. But anyway, righteous anger is not a bad thing. No. That's a form of anger that can be acceptable if it leads to something constructive, perhaps.
See, that's where I'll be honest for mine. What I could be angry about could be righteous anger. How I handled it was not. I think I have any right to be angry about the situation or anything like that. I did not handle it the right way.
Well, you've shown something that's a very important characteristic of being a Christian, and that's self-reflection.
Yeah.
You were able to recognize the fact that you didn't feel like you handled it the right way. Like, we did a podcast a few weeks ago where we were talking about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And some of the things I said, I don't disagree with what I said, but I don't think I said it the way I should have. But let's move into sinful anger. And this is something that I think a lot of us are really having a problem with, and we need to kind of guard against. Talk about that a little bit, Jeremy. What's the definition of sinful anger?
Sinful anger is rooted in selfishness, pride, and desire for revenge. It harms relationships and opposes God's will.
That's a mouthful.
It is very truthful, too, because how many times we've got angry, the first thing is like, I'm going to get that person back. If it's the last thing I do.
Well, that's what Chris just said. The whole intent is to harm the other person because they harmed you.
Yes.
It is a...
And you know what? This has taken me a lot of time. I'm in my 50s. I don't know that I understood it as carefully as much as I do now, but anger is a very dangerous thing.
Very.
Anger is one of those things that if you hold that inside of you, all you're doing is rotting yourself out from within. There's nothing constructive that's going to come from that anger. And we have to try very hard, and we got to pray about it and focus on, like we said earlier, letting it go.
That's
forgiving.
Key. It kind of goes
even
back.
Even when somebody harms you. What's the verse, guys, where how many times are we supposed to forgive our brother?
7 and 70. Yeah.
Well, and then what does Jesus go on to say?
Seven times?
He says, 70 times 70. The point.
In a day. Just in a day.
The whole point of that is the times that you should forgive your brother his trespass is unlimited. There is no set number. Every time is the answer to that.
And this is the kind of anger I had where I really thrived on it because I really couldn't wait. I wanted to get the people back and I wanted to make somebody feel how I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. It's a horrible thing. But I would focus on this anger and it would kind of give me a drive. Yeah. And all I want to do is get it. But the thing is, even if I ever did get them back, we go back to what you said earlier about saying things. You know, even say, like, next time I'm going to tell them people off. Well, eventually you will tell them off, and let me tell you how that's going to go. You're going to go home, and about 2 hours later, you're going to be like, oh, why didn't I just shut my mouth? What good did it do?
I have found that in situations like that where if someone says something to me that's hurtful, I feel a great power within me when I'm able to not allow myself to respond in a negative way. To try to say something positive to the person who just cursed me, it makes me feel better. It makes me feel stronger. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Well, that's the way you're supposed to feel after if you do the right thing in the right way.
And you can diffuse so many situations may start off in a minor way, and they can escalate from there.
Yes.
But If you're really being following Jesus' example, you're trying to be meek about these things and show love to one another, you can de-escalate, diffuse some of these situations before they ever have a chance to grow.
Well, I mean, and mine didn't go this far, of course, but look what happened near a town where we live. They just had a 13-year-old boy shot and killed, and he shot his sister because a bunch of teenagers got into fights. Two girls got into a fight. And then it escalates from there. Now one's dead. Another 15-year-old is, or 16-year-old is life's ruined because he's charged with murder. And then the other girl was in the hospital shot too, all because of it was a fight. It started, guarantee it started with some kind of disagreement, and then it just escalated from there. Now,
it's not new, Chris. No. This has been going on since exactly what we're going to get into. From the beginning, anger has been a very negative thing. What's an example?
Well, I mean, you have your very first murder come to anger. We got Cain.
Let me read that for you. That comes from Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read verses 5 through 8. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So, the context of this example of Cain, we've all heard about Cain and Abel. They were both to give sacrifices unto the Lord. Cain offered some of the produce. He was a farmer, I guess, from his field, where Abel did the blood offering that was commanded. God was not pleased with Cain.
Mm-hmm.
He was pleased with Abel, and Cain felt anger toward his brother over this and slew him. So,
and which one of those did it mention earlier? Pride and self. You know what I mean? They're
Jeremy mentioned the definition of sinful anger is rooted in selfishness, pride, and a desire for revenge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's selfish. We're prideful. And these are all things that we have to guard against. The Bible warns against these feelings. We should not be prideful.
And I don't think, like I said, I certainly don't think my anger would escalate to murder or anything like that. But it's all, even the smallest bit of anger is still a cancer. You said it yourself, it can build up. It can continue to build up.
Well, it will. It will build up. And it's like the quicker you can hit that release valve on your anger and just get that out of you, you're going to feel so much better. And again, guys,
I think with age that comes easier.
It does, but I'm going to give some helpful hints on that. Pray about it. Meditate on that. Recognizing you have a problem is the first step. And then read your Bible. You can get so much encouragement from that. Chris?
And I know we're going to get into some of the things of how the Bible teaches us about, and you've just mentioned a couple of them too, but what I wish I had done in that situation, and I got to train myself, is walk, take a time out or walk or something like that, to where my first instinct did not need to be angry. It needed to be turned to God.
I don't think this is in the Bible, but there's that part where you hear, when you're about to say something, like Chris mentioned, take a time out. You've got to really stop sometimes and think before you say things. It is so important. How many times, guys, and listeners out there, let's take emails. You know, once an email or a text is sent out in the world, it's kind of out there.
It's forever.
And how many times have you, like, you got an email from somebody or some kind of communique that was upsetting, and buddy, you just hit those, you hit that keyboard, and you got this, you just got this answer right back, and you're fixing to hit send. It's like, maybe I should, like, sleep on this and come back in first thing in the morning. And if I still want to send it, I will. I never have. Because it's every time I send one of those, I'm like, you know what? This is, it's not going to diffuse. What I just wrote does not diffuse. It's going to build the anger.
It is.
It's going to escalate it.
One of the best things that, the book, Lincoln on Leadership did, he was very upset with one of his generals that cost him a battle. He did something terrible.
Probably McClellan.
He wrote these letters to this general, to how he just vented everything he did, all this other stuff down, and he never sent them. He got it out, but he never sent them. I used to do that with emails all the time. I get an email, because I deal with a lot.
That's good advice.
I get an email out, and all of a sudden, I will take the senders and everybody out of it, and I'll say exactly what I want to say. Then I'll wait 15 or 20 minutes, an hour, and then I go back, and I start trying to remove the emotion from it. And it takes me a while. But I've gotten to where I just remove all the emotion, go back to what really the key issue is, and it's nothing personal, but that's taken me a while to get to that
point. You know, something that is helpful is a couple of words can really diffuse things almost 100% of the time. I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize. Mm-hmm. My bad.
Yeah.
That can be so powerful, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, I just spit. Did you have heard that saying? I'm so mad I could spit.
I've heard it.
We call him the camel. Or is it
the llama? I'm so mad I could spit.
But I mean, it's really hard in that situation to just to stop. I didn't stop. I saw red, and I just.
Well, you had another example, Chris, where you're talking about King Saul's jealousy and anger toward David. That's another example in the Bible.
Well, they talk about it in 1 Samuel 18, 8 through 9. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward."
He was mad because they made up a song that David had killed the 10,000s, and Saul had only killed in the thousands. And he was jealous and prideful.
I was going to say, do you think pride was one of the factors in Saul's rage?
I think pride is a lot of problem with our anger, because maybe we get upset because it hurts our pride more than anything when something happens.
Just the opposite of the definition of sinful anger. Some key points is sinful anger. It leads to destructive actions. Mm-hmm. It disregards love, forgiveness, and reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, how do we reconcile with someone? And part of that is being able to admit maybe your part in whatever this disagreement is.
Correct.
Even if you had nothing to do with it. Something I struggle with all the time is just simply getting on the roadway in a motor vehicle. It's 100% of the time. And you got to let it go. And I keep thinking, okay, you know what? I'm going to let that go, because as a Christian, I'm called to be different.
Yes.
I'm to set myself apart from the world.
Mm-hmm. That's key.
I'm not supposed to be like these people who are running around trying to run each other off the road, shooting each other birds, cursing at one another.
Shooting at each other?
Yeah, even that. And as a Christian, I'm supposed to be separate from that. I'm different from that. So it's not easy, but we have to let it go. And maybe the most important part of sinful anger is that it separates us from God. James 1:20, Chris, do you have that verse?
I can pull it up real quick. And what I was going to say while you're looking that up.
So we're not, are we on the air?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So while we're looking that up, even looking at these, my anger comes from a desire for revenge.
Okay.
Because somebody was hurt.
Which is natural. Wrong.
Wrong. Very wrong. It's
so, yeah. James 1:20, we're talking about how it separates us from God. That verse says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And so we know that's wrong. We want to be righteous before
God. We talk about like all the stuff and all that God promises in the Bible is peace. A lot of it's
love.
Peace. Love. Anger is almost the opposite of those things. Because when you have anger, you don't have peace. I'm not talking about righteous anger. I'm talking about
You react to your anger, you're only fulfilling your own selfish emotions and desires. And the majority of the time, as you mentioned, when we're angry and we act on that anger towards somebody else or a group, it's not to help that person. It's to hurt them.
It is.
And in some small way, that's supposed to make us feel better about ourselves, because we just hurt someone in return. Revenge is the Lord's. That's not ours to do. Okay, let's talk about some ways for handling our anger. Chris?
All right, one of the first ones we have mentioned, Ephesians 4:31-32. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you."
You nailed it there, too. We circle back again, just as Christ has forgiven us.
Yes.
We have to let all that go. We cannot hold on to that. And again, if you hold on to that anger, if you hold a grudge, have a chip on your shoulder, insert whatever saying you want to, all that does is hurt you.
It does. I don't know how I could forgive, and there's the reason I'm not Jesus. You know, not only did he go through, and you could be angry. Jesus could have been angry at the people that were actually like whipping him, all this other stuff. But it's all the people gathered around him too, spewing so much hate.
Absolutely.
So many terrible things. Like, I can't.
I don't think Jesus was angry. I think he felt pity at that moment for all of us.
But I would have felt anger.
I know.
But that's the difference. Yeah.
Well, what about Stephen? He's being stoned, and he's like, "Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do."
That's called true inner peace when you find God.
Yes.
Is Ephesians the only place that warns us about tells us how to handle anger, Chris?
No, you got Colossians 3:8. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. And even Proverbs 14:29. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness.
I often go back and read Proverbs just because I feel like the information we have is applicable just as much today as it was when it was first written. People with understanding. The wise man will control his anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness, and I got to admit, there's been a lot of times I've been very foolish because I've struggled in my lifetime to put the reins on my anger and my temper, for sure. What's the advantages, Jeremy, to being slow to anger?
Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has hasty temper exalts folly."
Folly.
That? Folly.
So, yeah, we get the same verse, but a different translation. It says it a different way. Be patient, slow to react when anger arises. Ephesians 4:26-27, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. And I guess for Chris's notes, wrapping up a little bit on this, it's okay to feel anger, but we either have to, if we're going to direct that in a sinful way, we have to check that. We have to stop that. If we're going to be angry and express that, we have to do it constructively without sinning. But it's a huge, absolutely a huge challenge.
I mean, he gives you the tools to it. It's patience and love, and you can't just jump into it. And
patience, love, which lead to forgiveness. So love and forgiveness, and being meek, are these things that do they come naturally, or are these things that we have to work at, and through working at it, can we grow stronger in our ability to do these things? That is, to forgive somebody and to love one another.
Of course, yes. You got to work at all this stuff.
I think so.
Well, it's a daily. As you can see, I don't get daily. Angry. Absolutely, I don't get angry with road rage. I get angry at a lot of stuff, but I still have an anger problem when something affects me. You may not see it often, but when it happens, you see it.
Another thing I want to warn people, if you know there's a situation or things that maybe triggers to your anger, if you know that, try to avoid that. Try not to. Part of me is like, it's a lot easier for me to not get angry in the first place.
Absolutely.
Than to turn off the valve once I do get angry.
But we're also asking people to be self-aware. And with some people, that's very easy. But there's a lot of people.
For some people, Jeremy, that's totally non-existent.
It's not. They just will not be honest with themselves.
Some people do not have no way to self-reflect. They just won't do it.
And I think I've worked hard on that through the years to see. And I'm still working on myself daily. I've got so much to improve on.
Trust me. He's got a lot.
It may take a lifetime.
Well, I'm in the same boat with you. What about controlling our tongues?
Okay, so James 1:19-20 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God."
Well, that's a mouthful.
You should have been that way at the Wild Buffalo Wings when they shut me off.
Well, that says a lot there.
Look
at that advice.
That's my problem.
Quick to hear. Slow
Whether
to speak.
My situation or Buffalo Wild Wings, apparently.
Slow to anger.
And it's hard. It's very hard. It's very hard to do that. Like you said, you just will I'm saying you. You said earlier, like, you know, you just kind of like have an explosion. It's an emotion that just explodes. I very rarely sit home and get angrier as things go on. It's more of like a reaction.
I've learned to try to avoid it. And I've gotten to where I can almost feel when something may start the inkling of the seed of leading me to getting angry. And a lot of times I'll take myself out of that situation.
Right.
If it's a communication with somebody, I will politely just take myself out of that and give myself a chance to kind of.
Because
usually
to
when I cool off, I what's that?
The agree to disagree. Yeah.
Never. Yeah.
But it's easier for me, like, just when I feel it coming on, get out of that situation, give myself a chance to calm down and think calmly and rationally. And almost 100% of the time, I will come back into that conversation or whatever in a different way.
Smart.
And I think that leads to what? Seeking peace?
Yeah. This is Romans 12:18. Advise, if possible, so far as to depends on you, live peaceably with all.
Strive for peace, even in conflict. So in our efforts to slow our anger, to forgive, controlling our tongue, seeking peace, what's one of the tools in our toolbox as Christians that we can use to help us with that?
Prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer, and it says on your prayer and surrender, but Psalm 37, 8 through 9, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yeah. You know, we have the greatest tool, and if I'd stopped to pray that night, I'm still angry about this.
There's
and
a church song.
I'm not been at peace.
There's a hymn we sing, isn't it? Like, did you think to pray?
Yeah.
Words, of course.
Angry
we know
words.
That song.
Have you tried meditation on this? And we're not talking about Hindu meditation where you clear your mind.
I can't cross my lines either.
We're not doing those.
That ended a long time ago.
What I'm talking about when I'm saying meditation is pick a verse out of the Bible that you like. Say, let's go back to one of these. What was a good one you had over here? I'm sorry. On one of the sinful ones here. Where are we at here? Help me out, guys.
There was...
Slow to anger, Proverbs 14:29. What you do is when you meditate on this, what you do is you read this, and you just read it over and over, meditating on it, thinking of it for about 10 to 15 minutes, and just focus on this one little verse, you know, and just focus on God's Word and see what it actually means to you and concentrate. And by the time you do this 10, 15 minutes of just focusing on any, it ain't got to be this verse, it can be any verse, or multiple verses, just focus it on it in God's Word. You will come away with a better reflection on it.
I reflect too. I don't have to be like sitting in a quiet room. That can help. I meditate on things just driving down the road.
Yeah, you
driving's
don't have to
a
be.
Big one.
Yeah.
Driving's a big one for me.
You know, when as Jeremy kind of explained there, when I talk about meditation, to me that just means I'm thinking, I'm reflecting on something. Yeah.
We're not clearing our minds. We're
I'm just
kind of
spinning around in my brain and thinking about it. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, how can I be better as a Christian? How can I apply this, whatever it is, to my life? What's the meaning of it? What's God want me to do? You know,
and what I'll
like
say
that.
In my situation too is, yes, I still feel angry. That being a Christian, just because you pray on something, it's not going to be fixed immediately.
There's
you.
Not like it's turning a light switch.
No,
like,
this is something that, you know, having this talk today and talking with you guys and
well, let me ask you a question. Can you grow from this when it's all over?
That's the point. Is
yeah.
If you
this,
can be a better person and grow from it,
exactly.
it'll be worth it.
And that's the struggle I'm going through now, but I'm learning how to do this.
My
with
advice,
this
Chris,
thing is to let it go.
My advice to you and to anybody listening and to myself, if you're struggling with something like that, you know, there's that verse, pray without ceasing. Just keep asking God for help. Pray on it. Pray like you mean it, you know. I think God's going to reach in and touch you. I think he's going to help
you.
No,
he absolutely will.
I think he's going to.
But it's not going to be – this is going to
you got to look for it.
If it's fixed immediately, you don't learn.
You
got to
look for it.
You got to work through it.
As Jeremy said too, yeah. Anytime we struggle with whatever it is, if it's something we're having a hard time dealing with and we overcome that, I think we're stronger for it and we grow from it. And Well, that's a great talk. Part two to this, we were going to see if it would fit in tonight, but I don't think it's going to happen. But we'd like to talk about forgiveness in the upcoming podcast, which I think goes hand in hand with your anger.
I do.
Well, it does, and a good part is like, how do I give forgiveness, and then also how do I ask for it myself with this situation?
And like you just said, the getting also leads to your requirement to be giving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The forgiveness.
That's a good point.
And it's not easy. Again, it's hard to control our anger, and it's hard to forgive and let go. But that's what we want to talk about next week, is the letting go, our commandment to forgive one another and to love one another, and some of the challenges and ways that we can approach that. Anything else, guys? Great. Wrap up? Any great comments?
No, I think y'all did a really good job. I think y'all did.
Well, thanks for the outline, Chris. Well done.
You're welcome.
Great comments, Jeremy, Chris, both of you. Where do you find us at, Jeremy?
Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Radio,
YouTube.
Apple Pod, I mean, Pod. YouTube, Facebook, Cousins for Christ. We're up to 85. Just need 15 more. We can see everybody who's following us.
Share, follow,
please. We've gotten some,
we need
some
your
suggestions from some other people, listeners, too. We're gonna focus on in the next couple weeks, I think. So we appreciate that. More than you know, it's awesome to hear like great suggestions. And they were great.
They were good.
So I'm very happy about that.
Well, good stuff, gentlemen. Shall we close out this podcast with a word of prayer?
Sir. Yes. Please, Ben. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity to come here and discuss your word and read from your word and hopefully we spread a message and that's for people out there that struggle, like I've been struggling with things, that you've given us the way, dear Father, to how to live and be a good Christian and be at peace. And we just need to take that word, believe it, and bring it into our hearts and follow the plans that you've given to us, Father. We pray that you will give us the opportunities to grow and to live as Christians and hopefully in one day be with you for an eternity. We pray, dear Father, for any of those that are sick out there and afflicted, you help hold your hand over them and bring them back to their normal walks in life. We pray, dear Father, you'll go with us through this week. Guide, guard, and direct us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.